Hello, and welcome to the second episode in this series of the True Tales of Luxury podcast. In this series, my very knowledgeable friends and I meet up in the wonderful Harrods Tea Rooms to wax lyrical about some of our favourite items from this extraordinary store. We have a very strict understanding that none of us should let loose even a whisper about what we're bringing along before we sit down together. So I'm pretty excited about what I've got to share this morning, and I'm looking forward to what the girls have brought too. And if that wasn't enough, each week we also call upon a special guest to join us. This week, I'll be talking to one of the stars of the Harrods Food Hall, our very own coffee master roaster, Bartosz. The crema de la crema when it comes to all things espresso, and the man behind our famous Knightsbridge blend, he's here to spill the beans on what it's like to be on the global level of coffee production. So, with that said, let's not waste any time. I'm going to join Stacey Duguid and Katie Service, our fashion and beauty directors, to ask them what they've got to show me this week. Morning, girls.
Good morning.
Morning, Tiff.
What are you laughing about? Tell us, what's so funny this morning?
I'm laughing at what I've got to show you, actually. But I'm not going to go first. I'm going to save it till last. Who's going to go first this morning? I think it should be you.
Can
Stacey.
I go first?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Go for it.
Okay, I'm just going to reach down to my side because I was so secretive this week.
We've all been very secretive this week. I think we've got good ones.
So this is one of my favourite designers. It's a handbag, and it's a... She's a designer, actually, that started...
What are you taking it out of? Show us your pocket.
No, I'm not going to show you.
Very
I'm going to describe
small.
It. Katie Service.
Small
She's trying to peek
though.
Under the table. Okay, no, because you need... So this designer has been one of my favourites ever since I first saw her bag on Sex and the City.
Oh.
Judith Lieber.
Wait, I just have to tell you what we're looking at, girls. It is a crystal goldfish. Or is it a carp?
It's a finding
Nemo.
It's a koi carp.
Yeah, it's a koi fish. And it's a Japanese koi, which is said a symbol of good fortune and courage. It's a tiny little handbag. It's called, and now please correct me if I say this incorrectly, a menorderie. Have I said that correctly?
I've never heard of it. What's a menorderie?
Okay, it's basically a little hard little bag like this. It's made of metal. It takes around 6 days. Do you want to hold this little thing?
I would.
It's divine.
I just have to explain. It's about the size of the width of your hand. It is silver, gold, and orange. It's got a cute little eye and a kind of open mouth.
It's a friendly face.
A very friendly face. And then on the top of its dorsal fin, there's a clasp, which if I
open
it, should open. Except I can never open handbags. How does this work?
Here, I'll do it for you.
You open it.
So continue to describe it. So its body twists round and it has a gorgeous tail.
You've also failed to mention the fact that it's covered top to toe in crystals.
No, I'm about to get onto that.
Crystals.
I'm about to get onto that. So it is covered top to tail in Swarovski crystals, thousands and thousands of them. It takes 6 days. They are hand-placed on the body. Now, if you look at each of the crystals, you'll see that they go from burnt orange to a gorgeous fiery red to silver. And what that does is it's to create a kind of texture. Oh, Tiffany has just opened up the bag.
And found the price tag.
Not only has she found the price tag, which is a thing that doesn't really alarm me because I already knew how much it was, £5,999.
Just hyperventilating here.
What bothers me is the lack of space. But never mind, we'll get on to that. This is not a handbag for an iPhone era. This handbag, do you know how Judith Lieber handbags became famous?
No.
Eisenhower's wife carried one to his inauguration, which would have been circa, 1954?
Yeah,
1953. And Judith Lieber actually is a Holocaust survivor. She was sent off to London pre-Second World War to study chemistry by her parents. Her parents wanted her to get into the beauty industry. So they sent her off. And then she came back in the summer of 1939 to Budapest in Hungary, where, of course, in September 1939, it was invaded, and they ended up living in a basement, and her father was sent off to a concentration camp.
Oh, wow.
And the story is so extraordinary. After the war, she was walking down the street and she bumped into Gerber Lieber, an American GI who became her husband, an American, and they moved to New York together. And that is where she started her handbag business. And you know, she only became well known and famous at the age of 42, and she only died at the age of 97, 2 years ago.
You're not actually using it as a handbag. It's just a little friend.
Do you know
that
what
you
it is?
To a party.
It's a conversation starter. Walk into a room carrying that handbag and everyone will flock to you. They will want to know your name. They will want to talk about that handbag. They may even want to have a peek inside, which Katie Service is doing now. How many beauty items could you fit in that little cup, do you think?
I'm thinking one small compact, a lip gloss, a lipstick, and maybe a sort of compactable brush or something.
You see, no iPhones. You have to get someone to carry your iPhone.
But that's good, isn't it? Go to the party without your phone and you'll actually have a good time.
Instagram the carp with the outfit before you go out and then leave the phone at home.
What are you wearing with this?
You can wear anything with that. You can wear jeans, T-shirt, a blazer. You can wear an evening gown. It's really just for any moment. It's you know, it's that little, like I said, that little conversation starter piece. I just love the sense of humour, the sense of joy that it brings. Yes, it is a collector's piece. It is like a piece of art. And that is how Judith Lieber originally approached her designs, as if they were pieces of art. In fact, her American husband became an artist, a very collectible artist. And together they had an exhibition, actually, a few years before she passed, where she had her bags and his art. And a lot of museums, like you say, a lot of museums collect these pieces now. I mean, she's really part of the culture, American culture.
Museums collect her bags?
Yes.
They're actually exquisitely made as well. It's so nice seeing this up close. The leather on the inside, you sort of expect it to be metal and hard on the inside, but it's soft silver leather.
The craftsmanship is beautiful. And actually, what I love about this is it was an accidental discovery. So she was actually trained in handbag making. So when she was trapped in Budapest during the war, she went to work for a handbag factory, a handbag company. And she was the first woman, she's a real feminist, Judith Lieber. She was the first woman to be granted, I think it was be part of the handbag guild. So she was a real kind of go-getter and a real boundary breaker. Anyway, she started this bag line. She received the sample, and it was a little metal thing, and it was dented. And she thought, what on earth am I going to do with this? So she got some crystals. This is Swarovski, another thing I can't say, Swarovski crystals. She decorated this little bag, and boom, all her friends wanted one. Isn't that an amazing story? It was such an accidental discovery.
Do you know what? There were a lot of women of that generation who were so empowered by their situation. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
They were so, like, determined to succeed and overcome the odds. And actually, it's a really American story, isn't it? It's a story of an immigrant who has come in with nothing and everything to prove and has made the most extraordinary success of herself. And actually, Judith Lieber is an incredible cultural brand now. It's part of American
culture.
Absolutely.
And she's done it with humour and joy. You know, you'd think people like that could be bitter and sad and have a chip on their shoulders, but there's nothing but other than joy that this bag
brings. Pure joy. And I was reading up about her recently and I've discovered that she didn't actually put pen to paper. She, you know, all of this, if you feel this, you know, when you feel this, it's a metal bag, although it feels very textural, doesn't it? It doesn't feel clunky. Listen to that little snap.
Ooh, love a snap.
You know, the thing with it is it's all hand cast. So they're all made in Italy. They're sent off and the cast is made. And then if you go to YouTube, you can watch this amazing video on the judithlieber.com on YouTube. And it's a 5-minute tutorial on how these bags are made. And it is true craftsmanship. It really is. They're hand painted, the crystals are hand glued on and the casts are handmade. I mean, it's really a work of art.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's actually made me feel very happy this morning, Stacey. Thank you. Right, Katie, can you beat the goldfish?
I don't know.
Tiff, car.
I don't know. I think I could compliment the goldfish. I've got quite a big box here.
Ooh. It says pure Himalayan on it.
Yeah, so I've got this from one of my favourite places in the store, which is the Harrods Pharmacy. Have you been down there?
No, yes. I haven't.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe I haven't.
It's like a pharmacy, like extra, extra, extra. It's the stuff you find down there is incredible.
Is it like, do you know when you go to Paris? Those French pharmacies that sell absolutely everything.
Yes.
No.
With diamonds.
It's not exactly. It's so much better than that. Everything in there will prolong your life by about 200 years.
And make you take out a new mortgage. But let me just open the lid on this box that I've got here. Inside,
oh my God,
this is quickly count.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, we've got 25 bottles with gold lids, all of the same size, sat next to each other. That looks like a brown liquid inside. And then it's called, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Cordyceps Gold.
No, you pronounced it right. And I checked with a pharmacist as well.
Katie, does this make me look like I'm 18
again? Okay, is this a shot? Take this as a shot.
Okay, so this is very, very cool. This is a type of fungus. I don't know if you've heard of cordyceps before.
Yes, mushrooms.
It's mushrooms, exactly, which are the hot topic at the moment in terms of kind of immunity and longevity and
mood.
Mood. This one is particularly good for endurance and stamina. So, I don't know, did you go to the gym this morning?
I did.
Good. This is going to be able to make you work out a little bit harder and
sorry,
a bit
can
longer.
I just describe Tiffany's face?
Can I just set the scene?
Eyes poking out of her head, like, what?
Very early in the morning and you've already been to the gym?
I go at 6:30, I do a HIIT, I do a power HIIT class. If I don't, I feel mad.
That's why you look amazing.
Thank you.
So, this is why you need that. This is a month's supply, these 25 little bottles, and you drink them one every day. And they're a combination of this special fungus called cordyceps, which is harvested once a year from about 5,000 meters up the Himalayas, right? And cordyceps is actually a fungus that grows on a caterpillar. And I'm afraid the caterpillar does not survive.
And they're not vegan.
It's a fungus. I mean, sort of vegan. But it's also blended with royal jelly, which is a natural source of like incredible multivitamins. And it's also blended with Korean ginseng, really, really high grade. So this is a kind of tonic for endurance. It's also, cordyceps is known as Viagra, but it isn't Viagra, but it's very good for that sort of stamina as well. And we have a huge market for it here at Harrods. We have repeat customers. It doesn't quite beat your cart price, but it's for this 1 month supply, it's £5,500.
I was just going to ask you if I could crack open this bottle and try
it. You cannot, no.
What if I just did that?
You would have to answer to the pharmacy.
You could write a check to Harrods for £5,500 or whatever it was.
So this is going to increase your workout capacity, increase your mental capacity, increase your endurance and your stamina at work, at home. And you are going to see results within about 2 to 3 weeks.
I have actually cracked the bottle and I'm just smelling it. Okay, now basically it smells of gold. If you can imagine what gold smells like. It's basically got this incredible fragrance, sort of gingery. It smells so expensive, doesn't it?
It smells of toffee.
Dangerously close to your lips, Stacey.
Gorgeous smell.
Well, funny you say it smells of gold. I mean, obviously it's called cordyceps gold, but cordyceps are actually, and this sort of quality of it, is the same price as gold in kilos. So it is very, very, very costly.
I won't drink it then.
And that is because the people that harvest it are very, very specialised. They work in the Himalayas. They travel up the mountains. They're climbers. They go up once a year for this particular harvest, which is, I think, in June and July. And actually, cordyceps has been used for thousands of years.
Well, I was going to say, how on earth did they discover that eating this fungus gave you untold vitality?
It's Ayurvedic. It's part of Ayurvedic medicine. So it has been used for thousands of years. It's been sort of searched around the globe by kind of sheikhs, by emperors in China. And it is, very, very valuable and very, very well tested in terms of how great it makes you feel.
I mean, this is
an elixir
to the uninitiated, Stacey. This is what the Harrods Pharmacy is. It's basically a sort of bio exhibition of some of the most extraordinary and rarest substances that you can find from around the world, right?
And that, for me, at the moment, is true luxury. How do we live for longer? How do we feel better for longer? You know, everybody's very frightened of being ill and of fading and of their own mortality, I suppose, at the moment. And that is a real luxury, finding ways in which you can be stronger and more sprightly and more mentally alive for longer.
Inner strength, that's lovely.
How long would you have to take these for before you started to feel an effect?
About 3 to 4 weeks, the pharmacist tells me. So, which is actually quite rapid. A lot of kind of supplements that you would buy off the shelf in sort of various pharmacies, would suggest going on it for like 3 to 6 months and then having a little break, and then you would start to feel something.
So I'm picturing a Silicon Valley tech billionaire who's just bought up half of New Zealand, prepping for the end of the world. He's probably got a whole stash of these in the back of his private jet, knocks one back twice a day. So in my head, it's a Silicon Valley entrepreneur, but actually, who does take it, Katie?
Well, I suppose it's so known for its physical endurance and performance abilities that it's mostly athletes that are taking it. And it is known that the Chinese Olympic team do take it as well.
Oh, well, they would know.
Ooh, here comes the food.
Ooh.
Oh, now, obviously, this is the great benefit of recording this podcast in the tea rooms, ladies. Oh, look, it's so cute.
Oh, my gosh, a scone, as we say in Scotland.
No. Look at this guy. Look at this guy.
That's adorable. That's a little Harrods teddy.
It's not a gingerbread man. It's a Harrods bear.
That
it's
is adorable. So is it ginger? Go and have a little nibble.
And is that a lollipop? That looks delicious.
That is a lollipop.
With that's hundreds like and thousands
something
of.
Something our daughters might enjoy, Katie, with a little...
Or their mothers.
Hundreds of thousands.
That's cute.
And
is that popcorn?
I have to say, these scones are the best. If you haven't had a scone until you've had a Harrods scone, clotted cream, raspberry jam. Oh, you know what this is? It's the children's afternoon tea.
How appropriate.
It comes with a bear biscuit.
We were loving it.
I know. I love the fact that she said to your daughter should have it. And you said, no, actually, I will. And it's got the tiniest little cakes and it's got lovely...
Oh, the kids would just adore
this. Cucumber sandwiches.
And the crust cut off.
Tell me, have you treated your kids to tea at Harrods yet?
I've taken them to have pizza here. And a big bowl of ice cream, but never afternoon tea. They would love it.
My son says, Mummy, is Harrods the best and the biggest shop in the world? And I say, yes, darling. He's very proud.
I've never actually brought my daughter to Harrods. She's only two, and I feel it would be a little bit like the repeat of when I was taken to a toy shop that I can't mention, a very regional one, when I was a child. And I threw such a tantrum because I wasn't allowed two things rather than one that I was banned from the store.
Katie Service, you were an outrageous rebel.
Did you mean to go on, Service? Right, girls, time for me to surprise you. So, last week, we concentrated on beauty. This week, I thought I would focus on practicality, okay? My wardrobe has seen your future. So, I couldn't actually...
You're very nervous.
I couldn't actually bring the object to the table because it is about 6 foot by 3 foot, so I can't carry it. But it is a unit that you put into your wardrobe. I've got a picture here to show you instead. So you'd love your lovely integrated bespoke shelving wardrobe can house one of these units. And the reason why I think we should discuss it is because of that word, which has become synonymous with luxury these days. It begins with S. It is sustainability. You're looking at me blankly.
I thought she was going to say time. Time. Time is a luxury. No. Sustainability.
Sustainability. Okay. Do you remember about 6 months ago when Stella McCartney came out with the idea that you shouldn't wash your clothes? She said, don't take your clothes to the dry cleaners. You let the dirt dry and you just brush it off. Yeah. And at the time, everyone was like, soap dodger.
Does she have children?
She has four.
But she's quite right, because actually the dry cleaning process is hugely toxic.
Chemicals.
It's toxic to the environment. It's toxic to the people that work with it. And do you sometimes get your clothes back from the dry cleaning and they smell of dry cleaning fluid? That is a hugely toxic chemical. What is called PCEs, they're basically chlorinated solvents, and they're very volatile in nature, which means that once they get into the air, you can't control them. And that chemical pollution is actually thought to persist for decades. And there's actually pretty nasty evidence about people that work in dry cleaners and the results of some of the exposure to those chemicals to them. If you start looking into it, I promise you, you will start to think, maybe I don't need to dry clean my clothes so often. Also, can we talk about the price tag? I mean, 20 quid for a suit, like a really good suit, plus having to walk to the dry cleaners, drop it off and bring it home again.
And they're never open, ever.
I look like a pack horse after Fashion Week.
Indeed.
Fashion Month.
I know, yes.
25 things over my shoulder.
Also, we know as well that using a washing machine a lot is also not very good for the environment because it uses an awful lot of water, very wasteful. And also those washing...
The fibres.
...tablets. Well, yes, it's the exactly. The fibres
from the fabric
that get into the water system. And also the washing powder itself, again, is not particularly brilliant for the environment. So Stella McCartney was actually quite right when she said, just let the mud dry and brush it off. But Stella did not have a Samsung air dryer, did she? Which is what this item is, ladies. So basically, I love this. I used to think that the idea of pure luxury was having your own personal hairdresser to give you a blowout every morning and your own personal chauffeur on hand 24 hours a day to take you out morning, noon, and night.
Sorry.
I've got an addition to that as a definition of luxury, which is an air dryer in your wardrobe.
How does it work?
So basically, it's got three hangers in it. So you can do three things at any given time. And the hangers are specially aerated. And it is a three-step process. So first of all, you get powerful air jets going into...
So no water at all. It is not...
It is water. But wait a second. Hold your horses. So first thing, powerful air jets go in and they kind of loosen and remove the dust. Then you get steam coming up from underneath. So it's basically like a steamer. And that steam kills all the bacteria and the viruses and the allergens on your clothes. And actually, Samsung, the manufacturer, say it's a rather good item for cleaning children's toys as well.
Mm.
Which is actually, if you've got small kids who drag their toys around in the dirt all the time, you do need to wash the cuddly toys. But here you are, you can put it in one of these air dryers. And then the third step in the process is a deodorizing filter, which basically breaks down the smells, you know, like tobacco and food and sweat sometimes cling to your clothes. And there you are, totally clean.
And does it use any chemicals at all?
No chemicals at all.
It's steam and air.
It's literally steam and air.
I need one.
You do need one.
Today.
And actually, the investment that you put in it is very quickly earned back by the price of the dry cleaning bills that you're
saving. I have so many questions. Oh, you do too.
Okay,
go first.
Me first. Is the whole front of it a mirror?
No, it's not a mirror. It's a door. But actually, it does something else as well, which is it's a humidifier. So actually, what happens after you finish cleaning it, you do it about after about 40 times, you need to clean the unit itself. It's self-cleaning. It self-humidifies. But if you actually open the door while it's doing that, it will humidify your whole room. So it's actually an air cleaner for your bedroom at the same time.
Is that a standard size that fits into a standard wardrobe? Or do you need to buy an entirely new wardrobe?
Buy an entirely new wardrobe.
Including all the new clothes.
No, but you just could probably alter one of the shelving units in your wardrobe.
So it comes as a unit. You plug it in. I guess it needs
to be
attached.
Is it plumbed into the mains?
No, that's the other brilliant thing is that you don't need to plug it into the water supply. It has its own water canister that sits at the bottom.
It's like filling up an iron, isn't it?
It's just like filling up an iron. But here's the clever bit, okay? All tech, as we know these days, has to have some kind of artificial intelligence attached to it. And this one does have a really good AI product. So basically, you hook it up to the app, obviously, everything's got an app, and it will learn the contents of your wardrobe. And actually, you need to clean different materials at different temperatures, which obviously you program. So when you say to the app, I'm just dry cleaning my Roxander silk dress and my Loro Piana cashmere cardigan, the app will say, no, Tiffany, don't put them both in at the same
time.
Because actually, the wool has a different temperature requirement to the silk. Put them in differently, different times, on different temperatures.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. So three hangers, you can do three things at the same time, all of the same fabric. How much is this baby?
Well, £1,999.
Do you know what?
Oh, that's not so affordable.
It's not as crazy as I thought you were saying.
What do you think your dry cleaning bill is a year?
I mean, I've definitely paid that much already.
A what?
Definitely paid that much already.
For sure, in 12 months. That looks like a £10,000 piece of kit.
It's a bargain.
It is.
The other thing as well is if you think about how much you actually need your clothes steamed and ironed. So if you are somebody who is having to get up on platforms and address conferences and address crowds, and you have the kind of wardrobe that involves suits and lovely dresses, and you're someone who has to be quite front-facing, which, let's face it, we all experience that. Many of our customers experience that. You cannot wear your clothes that many times without steaming them, pressing them, dry cleaning them. So actually, if you've just got this hanging in your wardrobe, at the end of the day, you take off your suit, hang it on the hanger, shut the door, good as new the next day.
It does it while you sleep?
It does it while you sleep. And also the other thing is it's super quiet. So the wardrobe is probably in your bedroom, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not going to keep you awake. Katie, Stacey, what can I say? This week, you have brought truly extra examples of modern luxury to my table. We have seen a Judith Lieber crystal carp objet masquerading as a handbag, an extraordinary set of vitality supplements that are divined from a rare form of Himalayan fungus that will basically make me a Chinese Olympic athlete, right? And I've brought you a smart wardrobe that will clean all your clothes sustainably and cheaply.
Now, it's time for me to take a rather long walk all the way down to the food hall where I'm going to speak to our very own master coffee roaster, Bartosz Cipaj. I'm very much hoping he's got a good cup of the strong stuff ready and waiting for me.
So here we are down in the Harrods food hall, one of my favourite places in this incredible store. And I've come to interview Bartosz Cipaj, who is our master roaster. And I'll tell you something, there is nothing that this man doesn't know about coffee. He is a judge in the Global Cup of Excellence, which is basically a convention for all the master growers and roasters the world over to find the world's best coffees. Bartosz!
Tiffany!
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very well.
So, I am very excited to be here in your coffee roastery, which was actually only built here, how long ago?
2.5 years, yes.
2.5 years ago, yeah. And this is where all the action is. So you actually roast coffee beans in here, don't you?
Yes, well, I do profile all the coffees that we sell in Harrods, so it's about 40 coffees. And they create all the blends here. So over 1,000 kilo a week is roasted here.
And there's a beautiful kind of brass and metal machine here with a big drum full of coffee beans, which... Yeah. This, I guess, is the oven where you roast, right?
Yes, it's called coffee roaster. And this is a 25-kilo Probat coffee roaster made in Germany. I believe the company is making the roaster since 1886.
Oh,
so they have some expertise in it.
Yeah, and it's a truly beautiful thing. Now, I like to think that as an amateur, I know a bit about coffee, but I know absolutely nothing about coffee when it comes to you. So what I would like you to do today is teach me what good coffee is.
Right, excellent. I have actually here very unique two coffees that I would love you to taste. So so we have one coffee which is Esmeralda Special.
Esmeralda Special.
Esmeralda Special, yes. So I'm going to just grind this.
Goodness.
Yeah,
wow.
It's super floral. So this coffee is very floral. It has notes of apricot, which you're gonna get when we're gonna drink this coffee. So what I've done here? We have here about 18 grams of coffee. Actually, I have 19 grams, but I know about 1 gram I'm gonna lose while grinding. So I'm dosing with 1 gram.
So you've just got the beans at the moment in the pot.
Yes,
yeah.
And then we're gonna grind them, and then I will. Brew it using V60 method. So it's this invented by this Japanese company, Hario. It's called V60 because the angle of the filter is at 60 degrees. So I chose this method for this coffee because we really want to taste all these delicate nuances, you know, on flavor in this coffee. So there's a lot of jasmine notes. There is There's a bit of apricot. This coffee is naturally processed, so it was dried with the skin on the patio, on the raised African beds, that's how it's called. So it's about 1 meter above ground.
So after they pick the beans, they put them on a kind of tray, a yes. meter above the ground, and they dry them in the sun.
Yes, yes. So the sweetness from the skin is going into the coffee, and you quite so the coffee is... have bigger body than washed coffees. And also, it has this very interesting flavor of red fruits or tropical fruits, which we're going to taste in a cup.
Quite coarse ground, this one.
It is quite coarse. So I can choose here from 0 to 69, as you see. Mm-hmm. And I'm choosing the particle size distribution to the method that I'm going to be using for brewing. So I want my brewing time about 3 minutes. Otherwise, the coffee will not taste as I want. So we never really brew coffee with temperature higher than 95, because then we're extracting a lot of bitter notes, which we don't want. So right now, I just pour a little bit of water, exactly 50 grams, just to bloom the coffee. So I'm releasing all the CO2 that is trapped in the coffee. The fresher the coffee is, the more CO2 is there. This coffee was roasted about a week ago, so this is like perfect time for brewing.
How long after you've roasted the coffee? How long does coffee actually last?
About a month, really. Month and a half, maximum. So while I'm brewing this coffee, I'm going to start brewing another coffee for you. The other coffee is also kind of natural coffee. Well, it's called La Perla Negra. This is the processing method, actually. It's a honey processing. It's from Costa Rica.
Yeah, Costa Rica. Okay, so not so far away from Panama. So interesting that you've chosen two from Central America.
Right, yes. Well, Central America, it's probably my favorite region for coffee. In particular, Panama has probably the highest rated coffees. And every year we have this tournament called Best of Panama. And every year the highest prices of coffee are coming from Panama. So, you know, we're talking about £5,000 per kilo, probably roasted coffee.
Wow.
Yes.
It's good, right?
It's quite okay. Yeah.
And are they all typically quite floral and delicate?
So geisha coffee, this variety, it's famous for being super floral, very delicate, has some jasmine notes. But then, yes, here we have Costa Rican coffee. So Costa Rica is a kind of birthplace for honey processing. So it's something between washed and natural processing method. So in natural processing, we are leaving the skin and we're drying the fruit with the skin. In washed, we are removing the skin straight away. And then in honey processing, we are removing part of the skin and then doing various things with the beans. So sometimes we're covering them with a black, usually black PVC. Yes, so we are developing a lot of very unusual flavors. So you will see the coffee is really funky. It's not that as delicate and hence the price as this geisha. This geisha is super clean and super delicate and not too funky.
So you're just pouring the Esmeralda out now, and it's got a really lovely kind of pale toffee color to it, hasn't it?
Yes, it's a little bit like tea.
Oh, it is a bit like tea, and actually the way you were describing it with the flower notes is like tea as well. So it does smell quite delicate.
So that's what you're looking for in coffee. Like if the coffee is really good, there should be no really bitterness. It should be super clean and almost like without any like negative tasting notes. So negative would be astringency or roasty or nuts. Actually, dark chocolate. Funny enough, like people are describing quite often, like coffee with dark chocolate. This is kind of a negative attribute.
That's a wrong one, is it?
That's yes. With the high quality coffee, that would be something that you're not really looking for. So
yeah.
So chocolate is nothing great in coffee. Oh, have a sip. Okay, tell me what you think.
Wow, that does taste different. It's kind of funky, and I can taste the apricot actually. And the jasmine.
Oh, thank you. That's really good. Yeah. So you see, you are on level on level two already out of three levels of tasting coffee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long way from your Pret takeaway latte, isn't it? Delicious.
It's very different, you know. I like lattes, but they are beverages, not coffee. So I'm going to brew another coffee, so I'm choosing the grind size at about 12 and a half on this grinder.
So does that mean a thicker granule?
A bit thicker granule than in previous one. And please smell this.
Oh, that is delicious smell. Absolutely delicious. It's so rich, isn't it? What smells better than freshly ground coffee? I can't think of anything.
Yeah, well, I agree.
We should go up to the Salon de Parfum upstairs and challenge them.
Challenge them with the coffee smell.
Give us something that smells better than this. We challenge you. So we're just pouring the Costa Rican coffee now. And so what are we looking for here? Is this a similar...
So this coffee I actually used now recently in a Tiffany blend. So
The Tiffany Cafe.
Tiffany Cafe, yeah. Yes.
So you've done a special blend for the Tiffany Cafe.
Yes, I did special blend for the Tiffany.
So you've got Costa Rican Perla Negra, and what else have you put in there?
So this Costa Rican Perla Negra is super... It has a lot of violet fruits. So I will think of plums, figs maybe, dates. It's really sweet, really big body, and these fruits are like really incredible in a cup. So I mixed in the blend also Sumatran, which is very smoky and spicy coffee, and then I put also Brazilian Datera. It's a farm Datera. And it's Catuai naturally processed. It's very hazelnutty, so it's like roasted hazelnuts. So you have roasted hazelnuts, then you have plums, and a lot of smoky and spicy notes.
I am going straight to Tiffany Cafe after this to try that. You just made it sound so delicious. But so this is one of the three components.
One of the three components. I really like this because it's so unique, and it's made in Las Lajas. So Las Lajas is a farm from where this coffee is coming from. I would like to try some. So this is, please tell me everything. I hope it's extracted well. A little bit problem.
It does smell different, actually. Oh, it's such a particular taste. It's unlike anything else. It's really, you can taste the plums. This is delicious.
A bit background. So the difference in price and the quality of this coffee versus the previous one. The previous one has a bit lower body and is more kind of delicate. This one is more like in your face, plums in your face, dates, which are super interesting, but they're not so subtle than the other ones.
Basically, that just shows, Bartosz, I'm the amateur, you're the professional. I need something in the face and you need something that is more subtle. On that note, can I have a second cup, please?
Of course, yes.
That brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thanks again to the wonderful Bartosz for his incredible coffee knowledge. Next time you're in store, pop down to the food court and follow the smell of coffee. You might just see a rather smartly dressed chap doing something very clever with some incredible machinery. We will, of course, be back again next week. If you'd like to receive the new episode as soon as it's available, be sure to hit the subscribe button in your podcast app. Until next week, goodbye.